Have your Bibles this morning. Turn me, if you would, to Psalm 95 and put your finger there and turn to John 4. We're going to see Psalm 95 sort of explained. I want to take just a minute, read to you Psalm 95. Verse 1, come now, O come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. We've all heard that, make a joyful noise. That sort of lets us off the hook if we don't sing well. Everybody can just let it rip and it doesn't matter. You can be a blessing and you don't have to hit the right note. You don't even have to know where the right note is. So notice, if you would, in verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise with him with psalms. Now notice, if you would, verse number 4. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship, bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his voice. And then a phrase that is only used, aside from this, with sinners to trust Christ. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So in the book of Hebrews and different places in Corinthians, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart, was pulled from this passage. I want you now to turn, if you would, if you were in the Bible, to John 4. Now, I want you to notice the word worship. When we come to church, do we really worship the Lord? I want to just draw your attention about worship. Now, in the New Testament, that word worship we've mentioned before, it's like when the dog comes up and licks the back of your hand, it's like they're just adoring you. And that's the New Testament word for worship. The Old Testament word for worship is to bow down. It is literally to bow down and be all on your face. That's the word for worship. It's not just, now a lot of people get that, well, I'm worshiping if I bow down. No, that's not what he's saying. It's the attitude. It's the mindset. It's your spirit that you're worshiping in. Now, notice with me, if you would, the world looks at worship completely different. And notice with me, if you would, look in verse number, chapter 4, verse number 6. You'll notice that Jesus is weary. This is the story of the woman at the well. But you'll notice, verse 6, being wearied with his journey. So many times we're tired, and to worship is not something that tired people can do effectively. Many times we want to worship the Lord just whenever we have the opportunity. We come to church. But I want you to notice here, look in verse number 21. You're going to see that there's a conversation between this woman and Jesus. And you'll notice in verse 20, she says, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. In other words, just not a specific place, but she's trying to say they worshiped in this mountain. And ye say it's in Jerusalem. So she's making the discussion of worship is about a place. And Jesus is saying, verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now I want you to notice just three quick things. Number one, before anybody can worship, you must look to the Lord for salvation. This woman's not saved. She's talking about worship. Many people talk about worship that are not saved. Worship is a connection between you and the Lord of heaven. It's personal. It is exhibited in many ways. But it begins when you and I, every one of us, we block out all the things of life. Anybody here other than me? Now, every morning I get up, 5:10, and I take my time, read, get my shower, get cleaned up, and sit down, and I get my Bible, and I start reading, and I read for a while, and then I got a prayer list, and I pray for a while, and, you know, it takes me a while, and there are times whenever I have to fight to worship the Lord and take time with the Lord. Now, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but anybody here ever been reading your Bible and dozed off? Other than me. Anybody ever been worse than that? Oh, Lord, can I talk to you for a minute? Anybody ever done that other than me? How would your wife like it if you guys are talking, you're in a very deep conversation, and all of a sudden she hears... You just thrilled her, I promise you. And whatever the discussion was, it's over. Or better yet, you're with your husband and you're talking to him and there's a ball game on. And it's the Redskins and they're losing. No, I'm kidding. It's one of the teams and you're watching the ball game and your husband is a big fan and he's watching the ball game and you speak to him and he says, honey, could I talk to you? And he says, okay. He said, you're really important to me. I'm not going to watch the ball game. Now, anybody ever gone to a restaurant and there's a TV up there? And so if you love your mate, you're going to turn around and put your back to the TV. Or you're going to say, I won't look. Anybody ever done that? I mean, don't raise your hand. But my point is that worship, it's when you remove all those things and say, Lord, it's just you and I, me. And the idea is you're prostrate before the King of Kings. You're coming into the presence of the one that made the hills and the sea and the sky. And he's going to take time to listen to you. So what you say is going to be important enough to have the attention of a king. That's worship. And it's individual. Everybody can worship. Andrew can worship at the same time Josiah's worship in different rooms in the same house. And God says, okay, I'm here. I'm listening. Now, worship is it's impossible unless you know the person that you're going to have deep conversation with. In order to truly be close to someone, close to this God of heaven, you must have given him your heart. You must say, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. Notice if you would, in verse number, if you would take your Bible and turn this same passage here, notice in verse number 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. She's gone to the well and he's asked for a drink of water. And she said, why do you ask me? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. I'm a nobody and you're somebody. And why would you ask me for a drink of water? And notice in verse number 14, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You know what he's saying? I've got water, the eternal life water, the water that I place in your soul, it lasts forever. And notice what he says. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing into everlasting life. So the idea is, do you have that this morning? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? We sang about it, nail it to the cross. The moment that you get on your knees and you say, Lord Jesus, figuratively on your knees, you can get saved anywhere. Now, a lot of people get saved in church. Let me take just a minute. How many of you got saved someplace other than church? You put your faith and trust in Christ. You allowed the Lord to take away your sin. You said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, you do it one time. It's called being born again. You only have one birth. You may celebrate it many times, but you only have one birth. But when you're born into God's family, Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. When that happens, you've looked to the Lord and you've become his child. And now there's a relationship that can be very close if we learn to worship him. And that's really what church is about, to help you and I learn to focus and worship him, so that when we go home, we can learn to worship him in private. But we learn a lot of that at church as a young person. Tell me where you were saved, not at church. Somebody tell me. Yes, sir. The living room. Okay. How many of you were not saved at church or in your house? Risha. In the car. How many of you were saved not in the church, in the house, and not in the car? Someplace else. Yes, sir, in the back. In a field. That works. Somebody else. One other place. James. Pardon me?
University College.
In college, okay. So you can be saved in a building, or you can be saved in a field. You can be saved in a car. You can be saved at home. It's just whenever the Holy Spirit touches your heart, and whenever you realize you're a sinner and you need the Lord as Savior, you can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ, you can look to him this morning and be saved. But you can't worship him until you're saved. It's impossible. Now, I want you to notice with me, if you would, this woman, she said, I don't understand. Notice what she says in verse number 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She thought he was going to give her water that would take care of her physical thirst. She said, give me that water. That'd be a cool thing, never to be thirsty again. And he said, oh, no, wait a minute. You don't understand. In verse number 16, and Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come here. You know what he's doing? He's bringing it back to her soul now. He said, go call your husband and come here. And notice what happens. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, now she was honest. And that's the first step of looking to Jesus Christ and being saved, is you being honest with the Lord. You cannot get saved and pretend or hide anything. You cannot worship the Lord and pretend. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And she looked at him as like, how do you know me? Jesus knows everybody in this room. And he knows every sin that you and I have committed. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. The Lord sees everything. But he's not looking for our sin. He's looking for our good. But he sees the sin in looking for the good, because he loves sinners. He loves us. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. You know things only somebody that God could give the information to. She had no idea she was talking to the God of heaven herself. Notice what she says in verse 20. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. She starts trying to bring worship into it. Well, religion is into it. And when we say worship, most people think religion. But folks, worship is not religion. You've got to look to Christ to be saved, or you can't worship. But you also have to learn the object of worship. Now, notice, if you would, she thinks it's a location. She said, they worshiped in this mountain, and you say it's in Jerusalem. Where are you supposed to worship? And notice, if you would, Jesus saith under verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. It's not about a place. It's a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why if you're going to worship the Lord, if you're going to say, well, we went to worship, or our family worships at this place, or you use the word worship, the idea is that you met with God. You. It's not about everybody else. It's about you and I meeting personally with the God of heaven. And it's not a church. It's not a location. You can meet the Lord and really worship him in your bedroom if you get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, remember, it's the prostrate. It's the heart humbling itself before the great God of heaven and saying, Lord, could I talk to you this morning? Lord, you're a great God. Lord, you can do things no one else can do. Lord, you can help me today. Lord, could I talk to you today? I want to lift you up this morning. Everybody in this room, if you're going to have the power of God in your life, that's one of the fruits of worship, you're going to have to learn to talk to him personally. You might say, my grandmother, I go to Oklahoma and I was there all summer and ride horses and fish and feed the cattle and just had a great time and just enjoyed myself immensely. But each night I'd get up and there was an old phone over on the side, and it was the phone that kind of had the handle on top of it. You could pick it up and you could hear somebody talking. Now, how many of you don't know what that means? How many of you do know what that means? Okay? It was a party line. And that meant you partied. You listened to everybody else party. That's what you did. You got out. I'd slip over there and I'd get that phone. And I was a young kid. I'd get that phone. Listen. Yeah, Mary did. I said, wow. And my grandmother would come around and say, grandson, you're not supposed to be listening to everybody else. Bam. I put that back. At night, that phone was off limits. But the Bible on the phone stand was not. And I would notice my grandmother go over there every night and she'd grab that Bible and she'd sit down and she'd start reading and she'd pray. And really, that's one of my real clear pictures of worshiping with the Lord. Block everything else out. She didn't answer the phone. She didn't pluck the chickens. She didn't cook the eggs. She didn't fix any biscuits. She met with the Lord. And I could sit over there and watch my grandmother meet with God. And boy, that had an effect on my life. This woman has never seen that. Well, I think it's on this mountain. You say it's in Jerusalem. Well, Jesus said, woman, you don't understand worship. Now notice what he says in verse number 22. You worship, you know not what. You see, it's not that you're worshiping, you're coming to worship and we're gonna sing to the Lord, or we're gonna play our instruments, or we're gonna give money, or we're gonna tithe. That's not worship. That's fruit of worship. Worship is whenever you and I meet personally with the great God of heaven, and he invites all of us to do that. He loves you. I am amazed at all of the junk that we put around worship. It's the object of worship is Jesus Christ. And it's you and I talking with him, sharing our soul with him. Lord, I got hurt yesterday when so-and-so said this. Would you help me to forgive them? Lord, I like you forgave me. It's the conversations of sweetness between you and the Lord that you learn you can't live without talking to him. So the devotions is not 5:10 in the morning or 5:50 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning or 4:30 in the morning. It's not that. It's, look, I want to spend some time with the Lord. And so it's not like it said if you miss devotions one day, never let miss your devotions twice because it becomes a habit. Never. Never, if you're going to make something work into a habit, never miss it twice. That's sort of the rule of thumb. If you miss it twice, it becomes easier the third time. So I'm going to have my devotions with the Lord. And if I were to ask this morning, one time as a teenager, I was a youth pastor for 14 years, and I asked a whole group of young people and their parents, and I said, how many of you have your devotions? Head bowed, and eyes closed, invitation. How many of you have your devotions you've met with the Lord today? You want to know how many? 10%. Somebody doesn't understand what it means to worship the Lord. It's not just reading your Bible. It's not just praying. It's when your heart is connection with God. The ceiling is not steel covered. It's like the Lord's in that room with you and he offers to say, I will meet with you if you will meet with me. And he'll do it here. And you can block everything else out. You can forget about the turkey that's cooking. You can forget about the meal you're going to have. But you've got to take the time to say, Lord, it's just you. I'd just like to talk with you today. You can come down to this altar and meet with the Lord this morning and worship him. And you can talk to him. But folks, it's not religion. She's talking about religion. Notice what next says in verse number 22. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. Look, if you would, in verse number 23. But the hour cometh, now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh to worship him. For the Father seeketh to worship him. Look, do you understand? God wants to worship with you, and he wants you to worship with him. And it's the person. It's wonderful that you give money this morning. It's wonderful that you came to church this morning. It's wonderful that we sang together this morning. But worship is when you meet with the Lord. You're listening. You're trying to communicate with the Lord even now. A young person, you can meet with the Lord. The Lord says the Father wants to meet with you. He wants to worship with you. An adult, the Lord loves us, and worship is when we connect with him. Now, I want you to notice, worship is not going through the motions. But we have to be careful of it. I was married for 43 years to a sweet and godly lady. And there'd be times whenever I'd get busy. Now, when I get busy, I'm a bad person about getting focused on things and letting that thing sort of take over sort of my mindset. So when I would leave, I would say, honey, come here, I'm fixing to leave. Let me give you a kiss. And I just give her a peck on the cheek or just kiss her and say, I'll see you later. Now, I did that sometimes. But then there were some times when I said, honey, I love you. Come here. And I would take the time to give her a real kiss, to hold her tight, to love her. As she became sicker and sicker and not necessarily was able to respond much other than to kiss back a little bit, I wanted her to know how special she was to me. So I no longer said, hey, I got to run. I said, honey, I got to go to church now. Come here. In the wheelchair, I love you. I tried to be more focused. The Lord wants you and I to be focused on him. He's not sick. We are. He's not weak. We are. And we have to not let our weakness take away the sweetness between us and the Lord that he wants. Dave Pittman, you want to talk for a minute? Sure. Lord, could I talk with you? Could we talk? Do you realize the Lord gives you and I this privilege? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. It's personal. Folks, don't let religion. I'm going to leave this here for you to think about it. Don't let religion, worship become religion. It is when we lose our focus. Now, I want you to notice there are some, number one, you have to look to Jesus. You have to look to Jesus to be saved. You have to learn the object of worship, and that's none other than the Lord. That's it. Nothing else. It's not I gave money, I worshiped the Lord. It's not I sang songs, I worshiped the Lord. It's not that I greeted some folks, I encouraged some people, I worshiped the Lord. But notice, we must let true worship bring forth its fruit in our life. Now, what is some of that fruit? When you begin to worship the Lord, there's stuff that comes out of your heart. It's real. Worship takes people that are Christians, that are hypocritical, into Christians that are genuine, that you like to be around, that they're real, they care about people. They're the epitome of Jesus Christ. That's what worship does for every one of us in this room. It makes you look more like Christ. And if you were to find, take your Bible and turn, keep your finger, take your Bible and turn Acts chapter, if you would please with me, Acts. I want you to notice I didn't give you the reference. Acts 11. Notice, if you would, verse number 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, they had trusted Christ as Savior, was glad and exhorted them. He encouraged them to keep growing in the Lord, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And notice in verse 26, the last phrase, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You want to know why? Because they were urged to have purpose of heart. They would cleave unto the Lord. That's worship. You purpose in your heart to stay close to the Lord. I want to talk to him about everything. I want to be close to him about everything. I want to share everything with him. If you're close to your wife, you have no secrets. If you're close to the Lord, you have no secrets. You don't try to keep secrets because you love him. Because your purpose of heart is to be close to the Lord. Now I want you to notice the fruit very quickly. Turn back to John. I want you to see, number one, we will wholly believe in the Lord. Now, anybody here ever had the doubt in your mind? You've been saved for a while, but you, like these orphans that Jeremy said were laying on their backs or looking up at the clouds. You ever had there in your mind, I wonder if he really is coming? Don't raise your hand if you ever had that thought. But that thought is the devil's thought to keep you from truly, wholly knowing that there's a God in heaven that has your name and loves you and has forgiven you of your sin. He always wants to have a doubt in the back of your head. Well, notice this. Look in verse number 29. The woman then left her water pot, went in the way of the city, and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Sold. This is the Christ. Isn't he that? Isn't that him? It's him. She is sold. She is wholly including. This man that I met is Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the one. Now notice another thing that happens. We'll draw close to the Lord. Notice verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Notice, if you would, in verse number 30. And then they went out of the city and came unto him. So she convinced them to go to Jesus Christ. So part of the fruit of a Christian's life, their excitement in worship, their genuine connection to the Lord, is their lives are different. This woman was the worst woman in that city. She had had five husbands. She was there at the lunchtime getting her water because nobody else went in the heat of the day. She went there not to get laughed and mocked at. And so she goes there because she's the worst of the worst and sees Jesus, and he asks for water, and all this event happens, and she goes back into town and says, you got to see Jesus Christ. You got to see him. Isn't this Messiah come? And they came. They wouldn't have done that unless she had truly met Jesus and was real. And she let her heart go to him. She worshiped him. Notice this. In verse number 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Today, do people listen to you because it's a fruit of worship? There's such a genuineness in your heart that people listen. She couldn't have had all the money in the world and gone back in that town and said, I want you to come see somebody that I think is the Messiah. You? but she was already different. She had met the Lord. She was worshiping him. She had given him her heart. And when she spoke, they listened. If you're at work, do they hear a little slip of the tongue, a curse word here, or anger here, or bitterness here? Or they hear a subtle word that is turning people off in your place of work, and then all of a sudden you talk about something spiritual, they're not listening. Worship changes us from the inside out, so that no matter our past, it's our future that matters. They listen. You know, there's one other thing. Look, if you would. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode with them 2 days. Other people want to be with Jesus too. You know, when you and I begin to worship the Lord, we want people to come hear about Jesus, and they'll come. Because they see something different in our lives. We're known as Christians. They were known as Christians first because of the difference in their life. There were people that came to our church. There have been people that have come to our church because somebody invited them, and that somebody that was doing what was right, and those people respected them enough to come to church. You and I want to see people saved. One of the fruits of a worshipful heart is bringing people to Christ. It's sitting down and share with somebody. You know, I asked the Lord, please help me to have power in my life. I yearn for the kind of power D.L. Moody had. He was in a citywide revival in Chicago. He was preaching, and as he's preaching, the next day, a large factory owner said, I'd like for you to come and see my new factory. I'd like for you to see what's happening in my factory. And he says, okay. So the next day, they go, they're walking down in the factory, and as they're walking down the factory, somebody in the factory line kneels down and turns and looks at D.L. Moody and says, Mr. Moody, could I be saved? You want to know why? Because that man knew Mr. Moody had been meeting with the Lord, and it was real. That can happen to all of us. You might say, why? Because 1 second past death, not one person will ask that question. You'll see the Lord. And all of us will know the purpose for life. And that is to know the Lord and to worship him. And the fruit that comes from it will change people around us. It'll change our church. It'll change your heart. Today, are you worshiping the Lord? Are you close to him? He loves you. He wants you to worship with him. Let's bow our heads for the prayer. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn today. All the blessings that come from a close worship to the Lord. We're going to have a word of prayer and stand to sing. If you need to come this morning, first verse, you come talk to the Lord. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning. We need your presence in this place. And Lord, I pray that you'd help Christians to draw near to you. Lord, that we would worship you even in their seats right now. Lord, if they need to come to this altar and talk to you, I pray that they would do that. And if there's those here today that have never trusted you as Savior, help them to come. In your name we pray. Amen.